Welcome to Beside the Burn for Monday the 26th of October 2020. We're following on from our service on Sunday, and you can watch the full sermon below if you want to recap or remind yourself of some of the things that were said. But we've got this theme all week that we're going to be looking at of holding lightly and holding tightly. Holding lightly to the things of this world and holding tightly to the things of God. And it's realising the difference between these two things. Today we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 7, verses 26 and 31. And this is really the passage that we looked at in the first half of the sermon on Sunday. And this is a passage which, of course, is dealing with marriage, whether we should get married or not get married, but it's set in this wider context of there being a present crisis that's going on. So in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 26, we read, "Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are." Now, what is Paul saying here? Well, he's actually talking about marriage, and he's saying if you're married, you should stay married. If you're not married, then you should stay not married. He said, look, it's not a sin if you do happen to get married, but I think because of this present crisis that we're in, then you should just stay the way that you are. His thinking was that because of the present crisis, which we're not told what it is, but it would appear that it may well have been a famine because of the history around that time and what was happening. And Paul's saying, because there's a famine, because of the present crisis, you're going to struggle. You're going to have difficulty day by day doing all the things that you need to do. You're going to suffer because of it. You're going to have to do extraordinary things. And if you're not already married, then this is a bad time to be doing it, because it's going to be hard enough for you to look after yourself rather than have to look after yourself and a spouse. And so that's his reasoning behind it. But it's interesting for us because he is talking about this present crisis. And we, of course, are in this present crisis today. And there are lots of lessons that we can learn from this. That whenever there is a present crisis, we need to be concentrating on God. And that was Paul's point. That you want to be able to concentrate as much as you can on God at this time. And not allow other things to distract you from God. And perhaps that is what needs to be done today with this COVID. We need to be concentrating on God. We need to be seeking God day by day for an answer to these problems, because he is the only one who will have an answer. It's not our friends on Facebook. It's not the government. God is the only one who has an answer. So Paul goes on then to talk about marriage, and are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you've not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. And that's his reasoning behind it. He wants to spare the Corinthians from having to suffer in this way. And it also would appear that the reason why Paul was talking about marriage is because the Corinthians have actually asked him about this. They've said, well, what do you think we should do? And so therefore he addresses it and he writes back to them on this particular occasion. Then he goes on to say in verses 29 and 30, what I mean, brothers, is this, the time is short. And that's something that we forget so easily. The time is very short in today's world. We only have a short time here on this earth, and then we have the world to come. And it doesn't take long before we are moved in this world. So we have to do all that we can in the way that God wants us to do it, and not to become distracted by the earthly things that are happening around us. So Paul tells us the time is short. And he encourages us to use that time wisely and to prepare. And we need to realise the time is short for this virus. In a few years' time, this virus will maybe be gone. We don't know what will happen. But we have to use this time wisely and seek God and search for him at this time. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away, we're told in verse 31. This form is passing away. And again, as we look at the world, we need to remember that it is decaying, that it is falling apart, and that it is passing away. God has a great plan, though. God is going to come and renew the earth. God is going to come and restore this earth. He's going to create new heavens and new earth, a new place for us to live here. But until he comes, we are going to see continual destruction. And yes, we can have a positive attitude, and yes, we can always look on the bright side of things, but the reality is that sin is here and there is decay. And until we get those ideas into our minds, we're never going to be able to thrive in the current situation. We need to realise that there is a present crisis. We need to realise that this world is passing away. We need to realise that the time is short. And if we realise all those things, then we will hold lightly to the things of the world. They won't weigh us down. They won't cause us problems. But we will be able to trust God and we will be able to live for him. So let's seek God together now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we recognize that we hold on far too tightly to the things of this world. We put far too much importance upon them at times, and we get so caught up in the temporal things that we forget about your kingdom and the things that you want us to worry about. So, Lord, help us to realize in this present crisis what our priorities are, that we would hold these temporal things lightly and allow you to take them, Lord, if that is what you want to do. And be prepared, Lord, for whatever you call us to do. So, Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Tuesday, the 27th of October, 2020. We're going to be looking today at 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 9, which comes just before one of the passages that we looked at on our service on Sunday, and really sets the scene for what follows. We're continuing this theme of holding lightly to the things of this world, and yet holding tightly to the things of God. So let's begin by looking at 1 Corinthians 3. At 1 to 9. Paul here is writing to the Corinthians and he's trying to encourage them to show some maturity as Christians. And the opposite of being a mature Christian, in Paul's mind, seems to be acting like a mere man. If you act like a human, then you're not really acting like a mature Christian as God would want you to act. So this is what he says in verses 1 to 2. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I give you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready for it. And look at the contrast here that Paul draws. He's talking to them as mere infants, that they haven't matured. He's only been giving them this milk rather than the solid food. So any teaching that he's been giving them has been simple. It hasn't been complicated. It hasn't been something that they can get their teeth into. But it's just the basics of the Christian life for them to follow. And he refers to them not as spiritual, but as worldly. And these seem to be the two contrasting positions that we can have in our Christian life. We can either be spiritual by thinking of the things of God and holding on to those things tightly, or we can be worldly, where we are so caught up with the things of earth that we forget about the things of God. Paul says that they weren't yet ready for this mature food, this solid food that he has for them. And so that should be our goal as we serve God, as we follow him, as we trust in him day by day, that we start off on the milk, that we learn and we trust and we grow. But then as we grow, we delve a little deeper. We don't just stay with that milky food, but we get something much more serious and much more sturdy for us to follow. He says to them, you are still worldly.
There's that word again. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? And so the sign of worldliness, of holding too tightly to the things of earth, are basically these two things of jealousy and quarrelling. If that's going on, then we haven't got our eyes fixed on the kingdom of God. We're not seeking Jesus Christ above all else. He says, are you not acting like mere men? It's almost an insult. You're human. Really, you should be spiritual, not worldly. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? And there was this rivalry, as it were, that there were those who had come to faith through Paul, and there were those who had come to faith through Apollos, and they were then arguing over whose faith was better. Instead of realizing that there is one faith in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter who brought you to faith, it's the faith in Jesus that makes a difference. And that is another sign of worldliness, of being mere men. There are those two things again, mere men linked together once again in this verse, in verse 3 and verse 4, and the worldliness linked together as well. And so we need to become mature and get ourselves away from the things of this earth and on to the things of God. What else does Paul say? What after all is Apollos and what after all is Paul? Only servants. So both of them are servants of God, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. And then Paul goes on to say, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And of course, it's this idea that God made it grow. And it's this area of growth that takes us from being mere men and takes us from being worldly to become spiritual. There has to be growth in our lives. And so that means that we have to work at it. We have to feed ourselves properly. We've got to read God's word. We've got to delve into it day by day. We've got to fill our minds with the things of God. If we only take a little bit of God's word each day, then it's not going to have as much impact as if we fill our minds and fill our lives with that word that helps us. So Paul goes on, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God. And there's the role of Paul and the role of Apollos. They are planters and waterers. That's our role as well, as we go out into the world and share the good news. But only God is the one who makes things grow. And so if we're looking to God to help us to grow, we're looking in the right place. The man who waters and the man who plants have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labour. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and God's building. And on Sunday we looked, and in the next passage that we're going to get onto tomorrow, we're going to look at this idea of building and setting the foundation and getting everything with a good solid foundation that can be built upon in our lives. So we'll look at that tomorrow. But here Paul is saying we're all fellow workers with God. We're joined together when doing what God wants us to do. We're not off on our own with our own harebrained schemes. We're trusting in God to lead us and to guide us. And he uses these two pictures. We're going to concentrate on building tomorrow. But he also uses this picture of a field. And the field is an organic way to see us grow. A building grows by blocks being placed on top of one another, following a plan so that the building is complete. But in a field, it's a different process. The seed is planted, it's watered, it starts to grow. There's then a harvest comes from that seed, and then the harvest is reaped, and then the process starts over again. And you can't put an exact figure or an exact process on the field. The field is very dependent upon what God wants to do and what God decides to do in the life. So we do all that we can. We plant, we water, but God is the one who makes it grow in his field. And so we are a field where God's seed is planted and grows, and we see him at work. So let's bow now in prayer and let's ask God to help us to see what is important and to trust in Him to help us grow. Heavenly Father, we ask you today that you would help us grow, that we would be spiritual rather than worldly, that we would follow you and allow you to make us grow rather than holding on to the things of this world. Help us, Lord, to be the mature Christians that you want us to be, not just always sipping the milk, but eating the solid food as well. And help us, Lord, as we delve into your word and as you fill our minds and our hearts each day from your word, help us to grow, to become mature and to follow you, to be fellow workers with you, to be your field and to be your building. For Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn and our Bible study for Wednesday, the 28th of October 2020. Today we're going to be continuing our theme of holding lightly to the things of this world and holding tightly to the things of God. And we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 today then, looking at verses 10 to 15. So let's look together at what Paul is telling the Corinthians and therefore what he's telling us. You remember yesterday we were looking at the idea that Paul was saying that they weren't mature as Christians, that they were just mere men. They were caught up with the things of the world and they were jealous and quarreling instead of growing mature and eating the solid food of God's word. So Paul then carries on in verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. So here's Paul saying that all that has taken place is by the grace of God. It's not through his expertise, it's not through any special skills that Paul has. It's all by God's grace, and God is using Paul. And that's what we need to remember in our lives. Sometimes we allow ourselves to get a little bit arrogant or a little bit proud that we've got special skills. We can do special things for God. But really, we are dependent upon God's grace. We're dependent upon God's grace for our salvation. There is nothing that we can do to earn that salvation ourselves. It is a free gift by God. And here, Paul is reminding us that this grace is given by God to help us day by day in our lives. And Paul then explains the process that he's been involved in. He has laid the foundation. He is an expert builder, yes, but it's all by God's grace. The foundation, of course, is Jesus. And so Paul is laying this foundation of salvation through Jesus Christ, sins forgiven through Jesus. And then he says someone else is building on it. Because Paul has had to leave the Corinthians. So others are there now building upon what he started. And this letter that he's writing to the Corinthians is thought to be in response to a letter that the Corinthians have written to him. And so the Corinthians are asking lots of questions and Paul now is replying to them. He then goes on to tell them that although he has laid the foundation and someone else is building on it, he says each one should be careful how he builds, because no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So whenever we build our lives, we need to make sure that we keep building on this foundation of Jesus, that we don't try and lay a different foundation, that we don't get distracted and start building somewhere else, but everything in life has to be built upon Jesus. And we looked at that on Sunday and we thought about that a little bit in more detail. So make sure in your life that the foundation is Jesus, and then make sure that everything is built upon it, because it is so easy to be distracted. Paul then goes on in verses 12 and 13, if any man builds on this foundation, using gold or silver or costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. And Paul here is saying that the day, this is important, the day is coming. The day is when Jesus Christ returns. The day is the day of the consummation of all that has happened. And here Paul is saying that on that day, it'll be brought to light. You'll be able to see whether the building has been good building or bad building. You see whether it's been good things that have been used to build the life or whether they are things that will crumble. Whether they are expensive things like gold and silver and costly stones. These things require effort. They cost the person who builds. But it's also easy to build a life with things that won't last, like wood and hay and straw that just crumble under pressure or have no strength to them, can be easily pulled down again. And so Paul is warning us that come the day, our lives will be tested and our lives will be looked at carefully and we will see what is important and what is not. Our Presbyterian Church at the moment has been following a little theme over the last few weeks and into the rest of this year. And that theme is refined. And the idea behind refined is that God now, through this pandemic, is refining us with fire. And Paul here says it will be revealed with fire. So, if you take the refining process of metal, the metal is heated up and any impurities then, as the metal is melted, come to the surface and can be taken off, and then the metal can be molded and it's pure and all the other things have been taken out of it. And Paul's using that process for the Corinthians. He's saying that you are going to be refined with fire. There's going to be a testing, and it's in your suffering, and it's in the discouragements of life that as you are tested, you are being refined, and it will be revealed on the day. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. And so God will look at our lives, and in that refining process, we'll see the things that stand up, the things that help us in this world, and we'll see the things that are of no use and just fall away and fall apart. You know how it is that all of these building blocks that Paul talks about at the start of these couple of verses, you know how it is that if you take something that isn't worth very much and you try to build with it, it will fall apart. It won't have the strength and the longevity that you need. But yet, if you want to build with these costly things, that's going to require a lot more effort and take a lot more time. It's truly going to cost us in our lives. And Paul warns us to make sure that we're building with quality. And he says, if what he built survives, he will receive his reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And so there's this process here that we have our salvation in Jesus Christ, and that's the foundation. That foundation cannot be taken away from us. We will be saved as long as we have trusted in Jesus. But what then are we doing with the rest of our lives? Are we building what will last on our lives? Paul says that through the trials, through the suffering, through the problems of life, then if that building survives, we'll receive a reward according to it. But if it doesn't survive, if it falls apart, if it's brittle and has no lasting to it, then we will suffer loss. We will still be saved because we've trusted in Jesus and nobody can take that away from us. But it will be as if we're escaping through flames and there'll be no reward, only loss. So it's important that we listen to what Jesus asks us to do. It's important that it's his grace that we're trusting in and that we're relying on him day by day. And it's important that we trust him and build in him. So let's pray and let's ask him to help us. Lord God, help us to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Help us today, Lord, to find salvation if we haven't already done so. But Lord, also help us to build upon Jesus, to build with costly items that will last and are strong. Help us, Lord, not to build temporary structures, but help us to build lives that will point others to you, that will lead others to find salvation in you as well. And so, Lord, we ask that one day we would receive that reward from you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Welcome to Beside the Burn for Thursday, the 29th of October, 2020. Today, we continue in this fourth part of our Holding Lightly, Holding Tightly series, and we're continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, today looking at verses 16 to 23. So let's look at what Paul is saying to the Corinthians and see what he's saying to us today. So in verses 16 and 17, he says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" So far, he's been talking about this building on the foundation of Jesus. He's been talking about building with things that are costly and things that are strong and good for building. And then he reminds us what it is we are building. We are God's temple. And that means that God's Spirit lives in us. And therefore, it is important that we build well and build properly. Paul gives a warning here as well. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. So it's that reminder that we ourselves need to look after the temple and build it properly as a good place for God's Holy Spirit to live. But also we should be careful that we do not seek to destroy others. And there are many in the world today who seek to destroy, who seek to undermine people, who try to take away any foundation that they would build their lives upon. And we see so much of that today where people find it difficult to cope because they don't have the foundation of Jesus. There is nothing certain in their lives, and therefore their lives are built on shaky ground instead of solid ground. And whenever the problems arise, then the whole structure begins to fall down. The refining process causes problems for them. So remember, you're building God's temple, and that is an awesome responsibility for us today. Paul goes on, "Do not deceive yourselves. If anyone thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise." So look at what Paul's saying here. It almost seems to go against everything that we've been taught, but he's talking about being wise and that we should become a fool so that we may become wise. So there's wisdom in the world today that seems to be the generally accepted way of thinking and understanding, but Paul is warning us that just because we're wise by the standards of this age, that is not necessarily a good sign. We should become a fool in the eyes of the world so that we can be wise in God's sight, wise in understanding. It's very easy. People often get deceived that they know that the gospel is such a simple message, that the gospel can be understood by a child, and therefore it's not intellectual enough for some. And yet there's so much in the gospel that we can dig deeper and learn more and more. But it's very easy to deceive ourselves so that we reject the gospel and move on to the more understanding and the better knowledge of the world today. And Paul warns us against that. He says, "For the wisdom of this world is actually foolishness in God's sight." Knowing God is what is important, not knowing all the facts. "As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile." Now, Paul is not saying here that we shouldn't be academic, that we shouldn't learn, because Paul himself was a learned man. He had been taught many things. He had a great insight into his life as a Pharisee. But what he is warning us is that knowledge in itself is not enough for life. What we need is God. And knowing God is the important thing, and everything else is foolishness in comparison. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. So here's this maturity that Paul is trying to instill into the Corinthians. And he's saying, look, it doesn't matter who you're claiming, whether it's Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all of these things are of Christ. Christ is what is important, and Christ is of God. And so what we need to make sure is that everything is leading towards God. This is why we hold lightly to the things of the world. Yes, we gain knowledge. Yes, we gain understanding. But we remember that those things do not lead us away from God. They point us to God. And that is where our lives are built, on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Jesus as well. Building with good material so that we build a temple for God to dwell in and live in us each day. If we've built with other material, then it's not suitable for God to live in. If we've built with our own selfishness, remember at the very start of this passage, Paul spoke about jealousy and quarrelling, showing that they were not mature, that they were worldly rather than spiritual. And so we need to make sure that we are building what's suitable for God, mature, so that God can dwell in us through his Holy Spirit. And if God is dwelling in us with his Holy Spirit, then he is refining us and changing us. And tomorrow we're going to look at a couple of verses from elsewhere in the Bible that talk about this refining process again, refining by fire, refining through suffering. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you today, we give you thanks and we praise you, Lord, for the knowledge, the wisdom that you have given to us. We know, Lord, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And so, Lord, we look to you today and we do not accept the foolishness of this world. But Lord, we accept you and we ask that you would help us day by day to live for you and to glorify you and honor you with our lives. So Heavenly Father, be with us now. Help us to build with good materials on the sure foundation of Jesus Christ and build our lives as a temple for your Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Holy Spirit, dwell in us now, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn. We come to the end of another week. It's Friday, the 30th of October, and we're studying today two verses, Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10, and Zechariah 13 and verse 9. And these two verses are all about refinement. They're all about God refining us in the fire of suffering and tribulation and persecution, so that our faith would be proven true and so that we would know that we have built what God wants us to build. We're thinking again about holding lightly to the things of this world and holding tightly to the things of God. You may remember yesterday we were thinking about our lives being a temple and about the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in that temple. And perhaps you've been thinking to yourself, well, how do I ensure that the Holy Spirit lives in my life? What does that actually look like? Is the Holy Spirit in my life? Or am I expecting something dramatic and something out of the ordinary with wonderful signs and wonders to show that the Holy Spirit is in our lives? And of course, us being the temple and the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in us, that may be signified by dramatic events. But the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us whenever we are first converted. And it's not that we need to pray for a dramatic manifestation of that. We need to pray that we would show the Holy Spirit in our lives through the fruit of the Spirit. You know, in Galatians, that it's mentioned there, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and self-control, all those different things. And whenever we start to display those things in our lives, then we show that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. So if you want to be filled by the Holy Spirit, don't just pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord, help me to be more loving. Help me to be more considerate. Help me to be kinder. Help me to have joy. And in all those ways, we show that the Holy Spirit is among us. But then moving on to today, we've been thinking about refining and the fire and the testing. So let's look at these two verses together. And first of all, Isaiah 48 verse 10, going into the Old Testament to see what is told to us about this refinement process. And here the Lord is speaking and the Lord says, "See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." And so this refining process and this testing process takes place through affliction. If we want our faith to be proven to be pure and good faith, then it has to be tested, and it is tested through fire. That just as a silver would be refined, so our lives are refined by the affliction, the persecution, the trials that come our way. These things are not there to, as it were, trip us up and cause us to lose our faith. Those things are there to strengthen our faith and to purify our faith. In the refinement process, as the heat is increased, the impurities rise to the surface and they can be scraped off whatever it is that's being refined. So in silver, you heat it up, it becomes molten, and then the impurities rise to the top and they're taken out, and then as the silver sets, it is pure. It has proven its worth. It is worth more after the refinement process than it was at the start. And so it is with our faith, that whenever we face afflictions, and whenever we face trials, and whenever we face persecution, all of these things take our faith and refine it. Take out the impurities. And we look to God to purify us in the refiner's fire. We don't like affliction. We'd rather avoid it if we can. We don't want to suffer in any way. But that suffering sometimes is necessary. And we find the same theme being brought up again in Zechariah. Zechariah 13 and verse 9. Again, where God is talking, he says, "This third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God." There's a wonderful promise here that God says, "They are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God." And this is the two-way relationship here, that God knows us and stays close to us, and we know him and stay close to him. My people are God. But all of this comes about through this refinement and through this testing. Now, there are many who would give up on their faith because of the suffering and the trials of refinement and testing. But that's not what these things are for. Some people would say, well, there is no God if I'm going through this testing, troubling time. But it's the very fact that we go through troubles and testing that show that there is a God who cares about us and is interested in us. He is working in us like silver and like gold. He values us so much. Like silver and gold. We're not just wood and straw and such like. We are precious to God. And so therefore, whenever we call on him, he will answer us. The promise again. So the next time that you're going through trials, the next time that you're suffering. It's not trite to say, well, God has a purpose in this, because he does. We may not know what the purpose is. Look, for example, at this whole coronavirus and COVID-19. We don't know what the purpose is, but there is plenty of suffering and there are plenty of trials going on day by day in our own lives and in the lives of others. It's hard to pinpoint why that is. But remember that when God refines and God tests, then he will answer us when we turn to him. So turn to him today, call upon him and seek out his answer. So let's come to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you are a God who cares about us. You care about us enough to refine us and to test us, to make sure that our faith is pure and that we are able to follow you. Lord, so often we're tempted to reject you whenever we face tests and persecution. But Lord, help us instead to look to you and find you and find hope and purpose in you this day, so that we may say, the Lord is our God, and that you may say, you are my people. Amen.